Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was hell or hell.
Lemon face. Lemon face. All right.
All right. We're live.
We need Patreon to...
sort of.
To be better so we can buy you a new laptop.
Well, you know, we'll see. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Who Goes There podcast, episode 157. This is Jorge.
This is Matt.
Hi, it's Alia.
Hi.
Back for the first time in a long time.
Back for the first time?
In a long time.
Yeah, I guess so.
I know what I hate. I know what I'm about.
He chooses words very deliberately.
Do I?
You try to.
I try to. At least yeah. I try to come off that way. But yeah. So what's up, guys? How's it going?
It's been fun. Just hanging out, drinking more than ever.
Yeah.
A lot. Quite a bit.
I heard you told me you were like, oh, you got to take a break. It was, well, yeah, no shit, dude.
Dude, that's what I did today. Today was my break, you know, but
had
like
a couple breaks in like last couple weeks.
Yeah. But since John's been out here for 2 weeks now, it's been a lot of drinking. A lot. Alia's come out a few times.
A few times.
Drinking everyone under the table.
Shut up. Not even.
Yeah, it's been rough.
Have you guys watched anything in the interim or?
I have not watched anything. I've played.
Really been watching anything.
Yeah. I've played a good amount of Dead by Daylight lately.
How's that playing these days?
I don't know why I wasn't playing it before. Honestly, I don't. I just switched over from Friday the 13th, and I love this so much.
It's
more.
It's so much better, dude.
There's like real terror to it. Like when you're running away from a killer, it's not jokey. You're not dancing and teabagging them and, you know, things like that. So it's a lot more fun. And you get to see Jason and Freddy and Leatherface and Michael Myers and the pig from Saw is in there.
Yeah, it seems like Dead by Daylight really like took the reins and was like, yo,
let me show you how to
hold my beer, Friday the 13th.
Yeah, they just did an announcement too where they announced that this summer they're going to have a new killer and a new survivor and a new map. And then they're going to do another one in the fall. So maybe we'll get another horror icon. Maybe the Predator.
Ooh.
That could be cool.
That'd be all right.
Or Pinhead. I would love Pinhead.
That would be really scary. Perfect for Halloween.
Shoots probably. Chains out at you.
Hooky chains.
That'd be great. So yeah, I've been just playing that. We've been watching Love on Netflix so we can get through Love and then get to Santa Clarita Diet.
Speaking of Santa Clarita Diet, that just came out. Like
season two.
2 weeks ago, something like that.
Already?
A week? Maybe. 2 weeks? I'm not sure.
Somewhere in there.
Ronnie and I already cranked through it.
Huh. Is it as good?
So, as good.
Or better?
Well, here's the thing. I don't think that show is like...
fantastic.
It's fantastic in the first place.
Not really.
It's goofy and, you know, the premise
is fun.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, that so it's not like, you're like, well, this is a fantastic piece of, you know.
That, I do feel that way about The Good Place, though.
Yeah.
Especially after going back and watching the first episode again today.
Have you finished the first season?
I haven't even gotten to the twist yet.
Oh.
So, yeah.
I thought you were watching
it. But I know what happens.
You spoiled yourself and now you don't want to watch it.
No, I'll watch it. I literally have not had time. But, dude, Santa Clarita Diet, it really digs in. It sort of like, it just gets, you know how in the first season.
It's taking itself even less seriously now.
Yeah. Yeah. Like it's one of those things where like, nah. There's a subplot with a cell phone that
as long
is
as
like
it's still goofy.
The goofiest thing that I've ever heard of.
Did she
of.
Eat the cell phone?
No, no. But I mean, it's still fun. It's still really fun. And we had a good time watching it. So it was, you know, it was.
Was it like 10 episodes?
10 episodes. Exactly.
I'm into it.
Definitely worth the watch. It's fun, but it's a goofy ass show. So it's a, have you heard
if
anything?
You like it, you already
have you heard
it.
Anything about it?
No.
Like nothing?
Not a thing.
Oh my God.
I don't know how I've managed to not
hear
anything.
The little ball that she coughs up mm-hmm. makes oh, an yeah. appearance again.
Okay.
And it's silly.
Does it turn in?
It's okay. Silly. I'm not gonna tell you a thing. It's silly. But yeah, it's you know, it's enjoyable.
We'll get there.
So whatever. Yeah.
Maybe this week.
I watched Pacific Rim Uprising. Whew.
Good for you?
No. That's a bad film.
Dang.
That's a bad film.
What? It seemed like it was exactly the same as the first.
Nah, fam. No, dude. They took all the good nature that Del Toro had created in the first one and were like, you know what? No, we're not going to do any of that. We're just going to have stupid monsters and stupid robots fight.
No.
It's just, yeah, they you know how in Pacific Rim, the first one, the robots and the monsters felt like they had weight?
Yeah.
Like, there was, like, a certain, like, gravity to them.
Yeah. Dude, one of the best things about the movie is
these robots and these kaijus are, like, doing flips in the air. Oh, and like, it's really goofy. They almost went full anime. And I don't know, like, I don't know if...
It might have been fun if they did. Just running on the side of a building with your arms behind you.
Okay, you say that, but that literally is a thing that happened.
Are you
there is the
Naruto run?
There is a robot that carries two swords, like as its main weapon, and it's the goofiest thing you've ever seen. But I mean, it's fun, I guess.
Why would a giant robot need swords?
Well, I mean, they did that in the first one.
Oh, did they?
A couple times.
Still, why would a giant robot need swords?
just lots of guns. No, it's silly. And there's this like preteen girl that knows how to build a robot, and it's just silly. It was not nearly as fun as the first one by any stretch of the imagination. So don't go watch that. Wait until it's out on Netflix or something.
What else have you watched?
I think that's it.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a slow week for you too.
Slow week. Well, slow in terms of watching stuff, but I have been. I did some side job stuff during lunch today. I have side job stuff
weekend.
It's a nightmare, dude.
And here I am refusing to help my little cousin pack.
What's she doing?
She's moving back to her mom's.
She's supposed to move this weekend, right?
Today she's packing and I'm just like.
And she's packing today.
And you refuse to help.
She told me last minute and I'm already tired and I had said I was coming here. So.
Blame it on us.
Otherwise, no, we'd have to talk to each other.
Anything to not pack. That's the worst part about moving.
You think you could handle a one-on-one show again?
No.
You feel like it would be too much for you?
I mean, no. Maybe if it'd have to be a movie that I had a lot to say about and something I'd prepared for. And this is not that movie. This is not that episode.
Yeah, we'll get to it, talking about Santa Clarita Diet.
We could try it at some point.
No, but, no, no. I mean this movie and Santa Clarita
Diet. Oh, no, no. But I mean we could try the one-on-one at some point.
We haven't done that, what, in like 140 episodes?
Truthfully? I think the last one was Starry Eyes, which was probably somewhere in the 30s or 40s.
God.
Long fucking time ago.
Hundreds of episodes? Over 100?
Yeah. Hey, we're at...
Over 100. Yeah. 157.
Yeah.
This is 157.
Do we normally introduce the episode or do we just have to yell it at Shane?
I said the episode number.
Okay. Maybe I just wasn't listening.
You weren't paying attention.
I was still so caught up in the movie. I was thinking about all the detailed intricacies of it.
Subplots and... Oh, man. So we've got these Pocky chips on the table that... Haomi Raven sent. Well, yeah. So she had a friend who had like a Pocky chip party. He had a bunch of them, and so we've got three of them sitting on the table that we'll probably do next episode.
I've been waiting for this for so long.
I'm not really feeling up to it tonight.
I've wanted to. Well, we got to do it for the belt.
Yeah,
we got to do it for the overweight championship of the world.
So yeah, I've been thinking about the way to do it. So do we do Russian roulette style where we don't know what's happening, or do we start all three eating the chip?
We gotta start all three.
It's a time thing.
Because the Russian roulette would be fun, but then it's purely luck.
Yeah,
we need skill and strength.
Yeah,
and then if we have a tie and people don't cave and drink the milk, then we move on to the Ghost Reaper hard candy.
Oh yeah, Ronnie got some. I don't even know why I'm into this. Like
this was all your idea.
This is the dumbest thing that I've ever come up with. And
I've been hanging out with me for too long.
I championed it, and I'm horrified about it. It's awful. What am I?
It's going to be great.
What the fuck am I thinking?
Killer Patreon content.
If it's any comfort, I'm sitting here kind of lusting over the chair right now because I got the munchies like crazy.
I don't know if this is really a munchie chip though.
Any chip is a munchie chip, dude. It's crunchy.
If you're hungry
it's
enough,
gonna be crunchy. That's all I want.
What about news, Matt?
John Cena is Duke Nukem.
Officially.
Officially.
Yeah, I heard that.
I'm really behind that. I think it could be great. I think he is so good at doing comedy that he's already got the whole, like, I'm a tough guy, you know, all he has to do is talk about blowing it out your ass and be a misogynistic piece of shit, but
blow it out your ass.
Blow it out your ass. John Cena can do it.
I don't think Duke Nukem is like the most nuanced of characters. No,
there's only one layer to him.
It's just like a frat guy, and John Cena is basically a frat guy.
But with like a heart of gold.
Well, yeah, heart of gold. He's not a misogynistic piece of shit, but I'm sure he can play one in the movies.
And he can squat like 500 pounds or something.
He can.
Do you remember playing Duke Nukem very, very clearly?
Only like the old one forever. I haven't played any of the new ones.
Oh, the new one I heard is horrible.
No, I used to love the old one. It was that was the one that was like Dune, right?
Kind of, yeah.
Doom.
Yeah. The only goal for me was to get to the strip club and hand out some dollars. Isn't
that always the only goal? Playing Grand Theft Auto, where's the strip club? Playing
Lead me to
Mario Kart, where's the strip club?
That's also a thing I've been doing a lot lately is playing Mario Odyssey with my son.
Oh, nice.
Holy shit, man. We are like the quest to get the equivalent of stars from Mario 3D. It's moons in this one.
Oh boy. I don't even know what the last Mario game I played was.
Galaxy?
I never even played Galaxy.
No. That was the one with the worlds, right? With the little globes that you could like jump to and from.
Yeah.
I feel old, like thinking I haven't played a new Mario. I mean, we played Mario Kart, like Mario 8. I think we played the
Wii one. Mario Parties too when we had it back.
Mario Party's the fucking jam.
Yeah, there should be one coming out for the Switch soon.
So piss people off real good.
Steal all their stars at the end.
That was the best. You could be in last place for most of the game, and it's just like, oh, guess what? Star switch up, and then you lose.
Yeah. What else?
Agony got delayed. It was supposed to come out March 30th.
What game is that?
That's the one where you go into hell. Yeah. And it's got the Red Queen, and she's kind of like a devil, but also like the Queen of the Locust from Gears of War.
Jacob told us about that one initially, right?
JM Metal? Maybe. We've known about this game for like well over a year.
This was a Kickstarter game, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to come out March 30th now. It's just gotten pushed back, but there's no date set so far. So hopefully soon. I've been wanting to play that game, but the longer they make me wait, the less I care.
That's interesting. Yeah. Yeah. The same thing happened with Friday the 13th with me, man. I was so over it by the time it came out.
Well, and a lot of the time you think, okay, well, they're making it better, but lately that just doesn't happen. They sell the games off either through Kickstarter or pre-releases or whatever, and then they just release a game. They keep an alpha build for months to years or...
Blur. Meanwhile, the super modders of the fucking Fallout world are like, and Skyrim. It's
Fallout and Skyrim, man. Oh, those is like a modder's paradise.
Yep. They're building New Vegas and Fallout 3 in the Fallout 4 engine, right?
Yeah, those people, but the guy that was doing like Oblivion and Skyrim, he didn't get stopped, but he had a talk with like his lawyers and the people from like
Bethesda
actually, you know, like sat down with them, and there's like, oh, it's not a great idea, you know, because
why
the voice
not
actors,
though, like what is it, what
it's the voice acting.
Oh, I could see that, owing rights or royalties to people.
But he's not releasing it to sell, is he?
No.
Then what the fuck? I don't get it.
Yeah, but just like to avoid possible problems, you know, he's just like canceling the whole thing, and that's making everybody else kind of be like, well, what am I really doing, you know?
I mean, I can see it being a likeness rights thing where Bethesda has the rights to use these people's likeness for and voices for further games, but somebody else doesn't have those rights.
Yeah.
So it could just be like copyright claims. Hmm. But even if you're releasing it free, I don't know the logistics on games and mods.
I don't know. I mean, it would seem like that's all it is drawing attention to the series. So why be upset about it? But
well, because Bethesda needs to port it onto your phone.
They're just saying like, oh, we possibly could sue you.
Yeah, man. Skyrim is on everything, man. I think
they just did one for the Switch or something, didn't they?
It's coming out. They just started porting it over. So it'll be on the Nintendo Switch.
But it's so worth playing. We picked it up again a few months ago, and
it's easy.
Instantly, hundreds of hours logged on Skyrim in a month.
It's nice to disappear into another world,
into a Dragonborn,
and so many fucking side quests. Other than that, the only other thing is that they released some details about Stranger Things season 3. It's going to be set in 1985 this time in the summer. And Mike and Eleven are officially a couple, and Lucas and Max are officially a couple, and you'll be seeing a lot more of Steve. But I like Steve.
Yeah, Steve was great.
They need to replace him with John Ralphio.
Steve was arguable. Why?
Because John Ralphio is hilarious.
Yeah, but too old.
He's in high school.
He is too old.
He was arguably the best part of the last season.
He was. And Bob. Was it Bob?
Oh, like poor one out.
Bob.
Poor Bob.
Yeah, but I don't know when that's officially coming out. No release date yet.
So I heard that Strangers film, the sequel, was...
I heard it was not good.
Yeah, I've heard the same thing.
I heard it... Basically, if you're a rabid fan of the original, you'll love it. But other than that, it has nothing. The story
is... You have to be foaming at the mouth for the first one, though?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Because, I mean, that movie inexplicably has a really passionate fan base. Mm-hmm. And I watched it again.
It's truthfully not that good of a film.
No, I watched it again a couple months ago, and I was like, yeah, it's all right. You know,
it's a movie where nothing happens.
Yeah, it's a home invasion. And, I mean, home invasion movies like that where, you know, they just cat and mouse them the whole time, that can be good. But this wasn't great.
Inside
is fantastic. There wasn't a whole lot of cat and mouse. He didn't like it.
I don't like it. I do not like that film. I don't like either version.
The American version
is somehow worse, but that French version, yikes.
Worse by leaps and bounds.
And that's saying something.
I don't think so. I don't think that. Because the first one is great.
This is so edgy.
It was creepy.
I want to ask you a side question.
Oh, no.
And you might not give me the right answer because we're on the show. If you don't shower, do you change your underwear the next day?
If I don't shower.
Yeah. So you took a shower Monday. Tomorrow, you're not going to end up taking a shower. Do you change your underwear in the morning?
Yes, but only because not the dirty factor. I don't like my underwear being loose. So I would change them just to get like a nice little like cinch
tightness.
Up again. Yeah. Yeah. But the dirty part doesn't bug me. Why?
Because I don't change my underwear.
Become recently known to me.
Yeah. She's like, we've been married almost 13 years and I'm just now learning this. And it's like, well, why would I put on clean underwear if I haven't showered? It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And then, like, when we were out drinking the other night with a group of people, it was like this heated passion, or not heated, but passionate argument about, well, why? No, you got to be clean. And it's like, but you're making clean underwear even dirtier. And I don't know. I thought it was, I thought it was a funny thing.
You guys actually had a conversation about
this? We did.
With other people?
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember any of it.
We did. And the way the sides were drawn was quite interesting.
I mean, I guess... I don't want to get too gross, but I guess for us, it's a little bit different because it's not like,
yeah.
We don't have like
excretions.
Yeah, but you sweat
per se,
but you sweat.
That is true.
But if you just sit on the couch all day,
that's
playing
the dirtiest place for sweat to be. And it's going to run down the rest of your skin. You're just like sitting in it.
Yeah, no, the cleanliness part doesn't. It's the
support.
It's a tightness factor for me, so I would change. Okay. But not.
If they stayed tight, you wouldn't change.
No. Oh my god. No. Because what's the point until you take another shower? Then you slip into freshies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it just feels so much better.
Yeah, it's like a clean set of sheets.
Yeah.
You have like more than 4 pairs of underwear?
I have like 20.
Why?
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Like, it's like...
Because ever since we moved to the new place, we've been doing laundry more and more often. So she's like, why is there only like 3 pairs of underwear in the laundry?
There's always like 2 of yours. Yeah, not even 3. I've
been off for a couple days.
I haven't been to work in a week. Yeah. What?
Oh, yeah. No, that's it.
I think that's just a human male thing. We don't give a fuck.
Yeah. Man,
no, there was
half some dirty girls.
Half of the dudes were like, "Oh yeah, absolutely. I have to change my underwear. I have to take a shower every day." And I'm like,
"Well, I mean, I do agree that the showering bit.
Just take a shower every day.
Yeah,
but if you don't, you know, if you're like, no, dude, I just don't want to take a shower today.
Nah. I'm not feeling like taking a shower today.
Yeah, I've been wearing basketball shorts. Everything's breathing. It's good."
That infamous Matt Smith fupa.
You fucker. Go foop yourself.
Oh, shit. What happened to Corey Feldman?
He got stabbed, dude. He got shanked in the stomach with a hypodermic needle.
It's not funny. It's pretty funny.
So the story is that Corey Feldman thought that he was being followed in his car, and his bodyguard like kind of shined a light into the other car. And when they got to a light, 2 guys came out. One guy confronted the bodyguard, bastards, and another one like stabbed Corey Feldman in the stomach.
What?
Yeah.
This sounds like a bullshit story.
I don't know, dude. He said it was with a syringe too. Like they're playing it off as a road rage incident, but he's been saying that ever since he spoke out about pedophilia in the film industry, that people are coming for him and threatening him.
Huh.
Who knows?
That sounds like a paranoid delusion to me.
Is it? Well, hopefully the truth comes out.
Have you?
I don't know.
Have you ever heard George's Corey Feldman story?
I think so.
I was going to say, I had a perfect opportunity to say it.
I don't remember them.
Nah, I don't got it.
Didn't you go see him?
It's that. No, it's. It was,
you have to tell her.
Well, no, it's stupid. I went.
Oh my god.
For everybody who hasn't heard the Corey Feldman story, I went to a karate convention with my dad as a young kid, and he was there for some unknown reason. He wasn't in any karate moves at the time, but he was shilling for autographs. Well, he was charging $30 an autograph, and I waited in line the whole time up until like to the point where I saw how much it was, and I was like, nah, I'm not gonna. And that's my Corey Feldman story.
I'm not gonna.
Well, yeah, that is kind of weird. Why is he selling autographs at a
they were like headshots with his autograph on it. And I was like, nah, that's
so weird for a karate convention.
Yeah, it was bizarre.
Did you ever look up if he's been in a karate movie?
I'm sure he has, dude.
The height of Three Ninjas fame?
Was he in Three Ninjas?
No, but Three Ninjas was a very popular movie.
I don't know. I was like 8 or 9 when I went, so I don't know. Anything else?
That's it.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to talk about mom. Mom. Mama. Mom. Ah. Mom. Thanks, Sam. You fucker. We're right back. And we're back.
That break took forever.
I know. Hey, Matt Smith.
Yeah, buddy.
What's up with the Patreon, homie?
Oh, Patreon is the way awesome people help us continue doing this show. By going to patreon.com/whogoestherepodcast, you can contribute as little or as much as you would like to the show. And you get bonus content. You get the episodes early. You can pick the episodes, much like tonight's episode. And every now and again, we just give out random prizes and do special things.
You're giving something out. You're giving away something this week, right?
Yeah, I'm giving away something special.
A something.
A something, yeah. I have it, but I don't want to say what it is yet.
Okay.
But yeah, so go to patreon.com/whogoestherepodcast. Because it doesn't cost a lot to do the show, but it ain't free.
Yeah, we goofed it a little bit this last week. Our Google Drive was being funky, and then it was just not a good week for Patreon. We're sorry, guys.
But we do have a new Patreon homie.
Yeah, it's not Kyle Wood.
No, it's Kai Wood. There's no L there.
There's no L in there. Unless it's like coyote.
It's like coyote. Yeah.
That's what you're going with?
Yeah,
coyote. All right. Welcome to Kai the fold, Wood. Kai Wood. Fellow with a beard. So he's in good company.
What are you trying to say?
It was good company until you went and did this to your face.
Maybe it'll never come back.
Maybe. It's already coming back.
Speaking of coming back, yeah. Frights and Pints.
Oh, yeah.
Is this weekend.
Yeah. I'm excited. It's been a while. We took our winter break because it gets so damn cold out here.
Yeah.
So cold in the D.
We're so cold in San Diego. We're fucking dying.
It's fucking high 50s.
It's so cold. It hit 55.
I needed a sweater and it still wasn't enough.
There's been one day this fucking year that when I left for work, it was actually under 40 and I had to sit and warm up my car a little bit. But that's for the whole winter so far.
Yeah, we got some rain too, which is nice.
It hits in on our hill not here. Really. It hits like the mid 30s when it's really cold. It's like almost frosty out here. It's really almost frosty.
Well, because you're on the canyon right there. That's why
we get the wind that comes over the canyon wind tunnel. It's pretty brutal, but yeah, it's fun. So yeah, Fries and Pints. Yeah, what, March 31st?
Yep,
Saturday. This episode, in San Diego.
This episode won't be up by then.
It'll be up for Patreon.
Oh, that's true. If you're one of the Patreon homies in San Diego.
And you don't already have plans to go, fuck out. You.
Yeah. Maybe we'll I don't, we could put this up early, but.
We could maybe do it Friday, but even that's too late still.
Yeah. Whoops.
All right. So the Who Goes There podcast watched a little film demanded.
Yep.
By Sam Bazzacco.
King Sam.
1991's Mom, directed by Patrick Rand, written by Patrick Rand and Kevin Watson, starring Mark Thomas Miller, Gene Bates, Brian James, and the old lady is Gene Bates, I think.
I want to know the producer's name. The producer had a really awesome name. I'm going to find it.
There is a character in this film called Beverly Hills.
Leon Dudevoir.
The hooker.
The hooker was named it.
Yeah.
So.
His last name is Dudevoir.
The IMDb synopsis is this. An LA man is shocked to discover that his loving and caring elderly mother has become a vicious werewolf.
She's a werewolf?
Now, that's what I was going to say. Is it a werewolf?
I thought she was, I guess, you know, she is kind of like ripping flesh out. They never show her drink blood.
Yeah. And he did say vampire, ghoul, werewolf. It's all the same.
Yeah.
Which it's not.
Which stupid.
It's not at all.
It is in this universe.
Yeah. She was just sort of like a general monster.
She had fangs.
But her, she also looked like a zombie.
She had the light sensitivity.
And she didn't get hairy.
She did not.
When you imagine a werewolf would be hairy.
She wasn't like, there wasn't like a blood, you know, exchange or whatever.
Well, Matt Smith, did you like this movie?
God, I really did. this movie's garbage, but I laughed my ass off during this movie.
What about you, Alia?
I thought it was really fun. I was entertained pretty much most of the time.
I thought it was okay for an episode of Silk Stockings with monsters.
Silk Stockings?
You remember watch Silk Stockings?
It sounds familiar, but like it was like early 90s.
Like early 90s USA Network, and then the Red Shoe Diaries would come on afterwards. It was like a really tame version of Skinamax.
Oh, okay. I knew about Red Shoe Diaries, but yeah. I didn't know Silk Stockings was
They had a cool
thing.
Little theme song. It's good stuff.
I hope that's actually the theme song.
It's close. I mean, it was a slap bass and, you know. Porno music aplenty. Yeah, I mean, this movie is goofy as fuck, but you kind of got to love it for what it is.
It's hilarious, dude. Like, he talks so bad to his mom.
Shut up, bitch!
What if I told you this was a 90s movie?
It's 91.
Actually, it's not. It's 89.
Are you sure?
Theatrical was 89. Home video is 91.
Oh, okay.
It's one of those kryptonite paradoxes.
It reeks. It reeks of early
90s.
Early 90s, late 80s.
Oh, man. I love so much stuff about this. I told Alia I felt the dialogue was written by somebody in high school.
Dude, it felt like the script was written in crayon, honestly. Like, it's that goofy. Like the first bit where this grandfather drops off his granddaughter at a bus station.
Was she a prostitute?
No, because
she had like those leopard print boots that go up over your knee and like.
Okay, she may have been, but I don't think.
Like your mother.
I don't think she was his prostitute.
No, family member, but
he
like.
Was like pimping her.
What do you think that whole bit was like? You're just like your mother. Like, what was that whole
shitty party girl? Maybe, I don't know, a prostitute. Maybe her mom's a prostitute.
So rather than work it out with her, he just kicks her out.
Like leaving her at the bus station, being like, figure out where you're going, or was he sending her to like a nunnery? Or
well, she had an idea of where she was going, right? She was going to L.A.
Oh, maybe
because she said, "Are you going to the late bus to Los Angeles?"
When she was talking to Lester,
dude,
that's from the beginning. This movie had me dying. So she's sitting there on her luggage, Nestor. She's sitting there on her luggage, and she pulls out like a fifth of or like a flask of some kind of liquor.
Yeah, it was like whiskey.
And she starts talking to this creepy-ass dude who's wearing sunglasses at night, just leaning against a wall. Can't open his mouth more than like the size of a grape. He kind of talks like Donald Trump with
So he's a character actor. His name is Brian James, and he's been in a bunch of shit. He's been in Blade Runner,
he looked really familiar.
Fifth Element, Striking Distance, Tango and Cash. You know, he's been basically in everything. He's a pretty well-known character actor. So seeing him in this, I was like, what is going on here?
And right from the beginning, he goes to like cover her mouth, and it's the slowest mouth cover. And then her bag he just flings her bag into the fucking woods and starts eating her in the middle
What is her, well, first off, what the fuck is her problem? The guy obviously doesn't want to talk to her. She just keeps, do you want a cigarette? Hey, how about you get a light? Okay, you want something to drink?
Maybe,
what's your problem,
maybe that's
man?
How she's just like her mother.
Dude,
maybe she's,
I was like,
I can't take two of you.
I hope this idiot gets eaten. And sure enough.
And she did. Oh, yeah, you're going to get eaten now.
What? What do you want?
You going to be on mic, PJ?
He's so nosy.
Hey, buddy.
He's all nose. And so I thought that scene was like a prequel to the movie. Not necessarily like a prequel, like it was gonna the present day was gonna be like fast forwarded and
she was gonna
be the grandmother. Or she was gonna be the mom.
Oh, gotcha.
And so when it was the old lady, I was like, oh, how are they gonna tie this in? This is kind of interesting. Like,
nope. Nestor's just coming to visit.
just a random scene with Nestor.
Yep. So the mom has like a room to lend, and I love that he walks up and he just goes, a friend told me about the sign you have for a room to let. And he is just talking about how he wants somewhere. The scene where she makes dinner for them the first time when he's there, and he's like, I told you I only eat out. I always eat out.
Stupid.
He's just letting her know, like, you'll get yours.
Yeah. Hey, PJ, can you fuck off, dude? You're distracting the rest of the class.
Yeah, we gotta pet the dog.
You're like elementary school kids. Can't not
look a dog.
Look a dog. Yeah. Well, dude, even before that scene with, so it's Christmas Day,
right?
Right, and. The mom is talking to her daughter.
Oh, dear.
that whole bit where the daughter's like blowing her off like for Christmas dinner.
Yeah.
And she's like, it sounds like you're still in New York.
Go, PJ.
The So when she opens the gift, and it's like this pair of shitty, like,
it's like hotel slippers.
Yeah, and a robe. She's like, oh my God, they're beautiful. Exactly what I needed. $1.99 pair of house shoes.
I feel bad for her because I was like, oh, it's her third set of this shitty present.
Okay, so when she puts it in the drawer and you find out it's the third set, she closes the drawer and kind of just smiles and cocks her head like, huh, oh, kids.
Kids will be kids. And then, dude, the next scene where her son fucking announces that him and his wife his fiance are pregnant. No, it's not even fiance at this point. It's still girlfriend, right? Because the mom...
I don't even think they live together.
The mom totally grills them about, like, so when are you going to get married?
Now that you're pregnant.
That scene was hard to watch,
man. It
was
cringy.
Jesus Christ.
The whole movie kind of goes in like that.
Until it goes too far, like those few moments.
Oh, it does never go too far.
It certainly does this thing where nothing happens, and then all of a sudden... the old lady is eating people, homeless people at that, under the tutelage of
Nestor.
So what happens to the old lady
at the end?
No. When she gets turned, like why does Nestor choose to turn her as opposed to just eating her?
So
he didn't want to kill her.
Yeah, because he's in the... I think it's during the scene where she made dinner. She's like trying to airplane him a bite. And I don't know what happens, but she flicks off his glasses. And with the fork, knocks his glasses off, and she sees his weird reptile eyes, and he goes, now I gotta fucking bite you. Should
have done that.
And he bites her, and you're like, oh, old lady's dead now. That's crazy. Well, but it wouldn't be called mom if she was dead.
As if I gotta wonder why the fuck he would care if she saw his eyes. Like, what does it matter? Like,
he's like 200 years old, and he just never learned how to lie. Like,
I'm super blind. Look at how blind I am.
Maybe he was just really into those sunglasses, and he was mad that she knocked him off.
Or something.
Yeah. Because he wore them indoors at night. All the time.
Well, that was just to cover his I'm a blind guy story, right?
Was he a blind guy?
He had a cane. He had a walking cane.
Well, he had a cane, but was he actually blind? Because he only had a cane in that first scene. He never had one. He's just winding up at the house.
I think that was just for pretenses. The whole scene where he asks about the room to let is hilarious because... I just need a quiet place. And then she's like, okay, cool, welcome home. And it's like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
People were so trusting in the late 80s.
Need a quiet place to call home. Well, welcome home. And then more hilarity.
No rent agreement, nothing.
Not even a handshake.
Not even a handshake. Just
no luggage. Just showed up.
Just a trench coat.
Oh, man. And he got really chummy with the mom really quick. It's like once she got bit, it was like, okay, well, we're just going to hang out and do all these things now. To the point where, like,
all these things, namely
eating homeless people. Which, when they took him into the cafe and fed him a meal, and he goes to put the Tabasco on it, and Nestor grabs it and goes, no.
What do you suppose the point of feeding the homeless guy was? Just
added flavor, like salt.
Get him to trust you. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I figured it was to like plump him up and.
But they literally ate him right directly after he ate. It's not as if like he digested the food.
Maybe it has something to do with the enzymes that are being released or like hormones in your brain, you know, like ate a big meal.
Yeah,
and
they
so,
want
like,
happy hormones going through his system as opposed to fear hormones.
What did they eat? Like they didn't drink the blood. They kind of just gnawed at the middle.
They had like. You get like two bites of flesh, and that's apparently enough.
Yeah, there was enough body left over. Bodies left over in this film that like these bodies weren't missing. They were missing,
but they were all somehow buried in the yard.
Yeah, what they weren't. That's what I mean. Like, were they eating these people, or were they just sort of like?
Well, and even if they were. Even if they were eating them, they're wasting their food.
A ton of it.
Because she just had body parts laying everywhere. There's bodies stored everywhere. She had an arm in her bed.
But not in the freezer.
Not in the freezer.
They needed a Santa Clarita plan.
You know, and watching it did kind of feel like Santa Clarita. Just kind of at the beginning where the mom is turning and the son is doing everything he can to kind of like appease her without without like turning in his mom. Yeah, you know, like, which also she went for the vegetable first rather than the steak.
Yeah.
Which didn't make any sense.
Nothing makes sense.
Yeah, well, the mother and the son are as overbearing as each other. I mean, you know, you can tell that she actually raised him. He's overbearing as fuck.
Yeah. And then...
He is the worst character. The dog was the best character.
I would argue that his hair is the worst character.
Yeah, probably. You're right.
That thing went through all kinds of...
He looked like a fucking shaved gorilla at a couple points where he just... Yeah, he had a Robert Stack thing going on. If he would have had a trench coat, didn't he have a trench coat at one point?
Well, he was a news reporter, so I'm sure he did.
Yeah. Which, I don't even know why the news reporter thing was important.
Wait, they were in LA. He probably did.
What?
He probably didn't.
No, he, right? You never know. I don't know. It's LA.
And then he decides, well, he kills Nestor. The scene where he killed Nestor was fucking hilarious. Makes no goddamn sense. So he gets in a fight with his mom's boyfriend and he kills him. Like, he stabs him. You're actually going to eat the
habanero candy?
That's Carolina Reaper candy.
Is it spicy?
I don't know, not yet, but it feels like it's going to be.
Oh, Jesus.
We'll see.
It's a mini challenge.
So they get in a fight, and he stabs Nestor in the heart with his mom's knitting needles, and Nestor doesn't die.
Just laughs at him.
Presumably because they weren't wooden, I guess. And then they wind up fighting in the kitchen.
He's not a vampire. He's a vampire werewolf ghoul.
Yeah.
They wind up fighting in the kitchen, and his hand is on the stove, and they turn the stove on.
And he instantly catches fire.
But his hand catches fire. And then they throw a can of grease on him,
which was also solidified grease. It wasn't like liquid grease. It was like
the lard.
Grease. It was lard.
What would
basically
you keep there? You know?
Lard doesn't catch fire like that, does it?
I would think grease can. I mean, I know grease can. I think if you have like a bunch of baking, like the grease can catch fire.
It wouldn't catch like that, though, I think.
Yeah, he catches like a fucking match, dude. He is instantly on fire and then instantly ashes.
Yep,
it's crazy.
And there's like a blanket that gets thrown on a cape or something. But his hand caught on fire. It didn't make any fucking sense. And Ollie was like, well, he's a vampire. Aren't vampires usually weak to fire?
Yeah. Ghouls and ghosts are always weak to fire.
Ghosts?
You know, in games and stuff.
Ghosts aren't weak
ghosts.
To fire.
Yeah, if you're playing like, a,
what you
like
about?
RPGs and stuff.
What you talking about? Fire?
Yeah, and Pokemon too.
There's ghosts in Pokemon?
Yeah, there's ghost Pokemon.
Man, I haven't played Pokemon in ever.
I'd take her word for it. She had a book with just like all kinds
of...
I'd take her word for it. She studies the blade when it comes to Pokemon.
No,
she
knew. Not even. But I did like it, and I did play it.
Yeah, so Nestor's gone.
Nestor's just gone.
And then he tries a little bit to turn his mom back to normal, and then just decides to lock her in her fucking bedroom.
Yeah, and the whole bit where he just locks her in a room and leaves her was so funny to me, because on the one hand, rather than just try to like figure out what the problem was, he's just locking her in her fucking bedroom.
He's such a dick, dude.
He doesn't take any attempt to like, well, you know, maybe we can suss out a solution here. Maybe we can get you some fresh meat. But no, he's like, I'm gonna lock you in your bedroom. Put bars on the window. See you later, Ma. I'm
done with
not
you,
even
woman.
Like he waits till she gets away. Yeah, and then bars the window. Keeps using that as like her nighttime spot.
And she just keeps
the part where they're putting the bars on the window. The construction workers, but the guys installing the bars are up on the ladder, and the drill becomes unplugged. And as one of them goes to like hand it back onto him, he steps onto the ladder, and the weight of them
crushes
sinks
the head
into the dirt. And you just see all this blood start pouring up from underneath grass. So there's been enough time for grass to grow there.
Or they put sod
think it's
on it.
Time. Yeah, I think he just fixed it real good.
And then the guy falls off the fucking ladder and the drill gets stuck in his shoulder. The whole time the mom's up there licking her lips, all bloodlusty. Nobody even seems to know or care that there's dead bodies in the yard.
They didn't notice. That guy was hurt.
Well, he so Clay is his name.
Clay? Yes,
Clay noticed, right? Because he went back and sort of undug the dug up the body a little bit. That's another thing. Like we mentioned it earlier, but these stupid monsters don't eat their food. They just
take a bite and bury
the rest of it.
They're like cats, you know. They'll eat like the guts and just leave the rest for you.
Bat the body off a cliff.
Yeah, I mean.
Stupid idiot monsters.
They're cats. And
how's the temp over there?
Spicy.
Yeah.
Did you chew it? Or are you sucking on it? Or
I was sucking on it until the end. I bit it.
Yeah.
Is it good?
It's not horrible, but
it's not really enjoyable. How candy supposed to be?
And the longer you suck on it,
I thought it would get the saliva like kind of starts mangoes, setting you know, your throat spicy, on fire. Spicy, and then it's just sweet.
But it's just always spicy.
Yeah, it's just always spicy.
There's little hints of sweet, but
yeah,
like
that's kind
of
nice.
The more saliva it mixes with, the more of your throat and mouth gets set on fire.
I'm not looking forward to these Pocky chips, man. I got to tell you, I feel like I'm going to be hating life. And because I'm okay with spicy stuff, but I don't seek it out.
Well, the best part is, we're going to do it before the review. So you're the one that has to say like, oh, this and this movie by this person starring this person.
Oh, God.
While Chris and I are sitting there fanning our mouths.
Oh, no, that's going to take like 30 minutes.
What I'll do is I'll eat the chip real quick.
If you try to go right after eating the chip, you're going to be like, oh.
Just do it real quick. Matt, what did you think of the movie?
I thought the movie was okay. Moving on.
No, you're gonna start choking at some point right after that.
Yeah, we definitely have to eat the chip right as we come back from break.
Yeah. Oh, so we have to do Patreon after break.
Telling you, it's gonna be that episode's gonna be brutal.
We're doing that Sunday, right? Monday.
It's Monday. Yeah, I think so. I'm not looking forward to it. It's gonna be a shitty weekend.
Excited.
But anywho, yeah. So getting back to the film, I mean it. It goes cuckoo bananas real quick after that, man. Mm-hmm. Like he's got her locked in there, and then she goes full exorcist for, you know, the last sort of third of the film.
It was a little creepy when she got that really deep voice.
Oh, that was when she was screaming and screaming, and I'm like, dude, the neighbors, dude, someone's gonna be calling 911 right now.
And then he comes and pounds on the door. The neighbors. I don't care.
He's like, I'm not gonna let you out. It's like, what the fuck, dude?
One of the things I did sort of find enjoyable is when he actually goes out and gets a prostitute to bring back to the house.
That's Beverly. Her name is Beverly, and these are her hills.
And so, you know, he goes out to the same place where they found the homeless person, brings Beverly Hills back to the house. His wife, his girlfriend, who's pregnant, sees them and just sort of like, oh, God. Typical man.
He's gonna fuck a prostitute at his mom's house.
It's sort of just she drives off in a huff, and I go, "Wow, that okay." He takes the prosty into the house, proceeds to give her this ball of yarn of like,
"How long was this movie?" Because now I'm like, "Damn, a lot."
It was 90 minutes.
Oh shit!
It dude, the an infinite amount of things happen in this movie.
It seemed like so many times. I'm like, "How much time is left?" Oh, there's an hour. How much time is left? Oh, there's an hour.
It never ended.
Oh, now it's an hour and 5 minutes. Fuck.
It got longer. He brings a prostitute back. He brings Beverly Hills back, and this moment happens where she's ready to bone down.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like, oh, you know what?
She already got her $25 in cab
fare.
Just
kidding. I don't want to have sex with you. I want you to go up to my mom's room and pretend like you're her daughter, her long lost daughter. And she, at first, she's like, nah, fuck that, fam. I'm not doing that.
Yeah, that's weird.
And then she warms up to the idea, wants to do it, heads up there, and he stops her from going in there.
Yep.
He gets guilty conscience.
They proceed to drink, right?
Mm-hmm. While they're waiting for a cab, allegedly.
He gets blitzed enough where he passes out.
He's like, I'm drunk and I'm tired.
He passes out on the couch. Homegirl is like, you know what?
She hears the mom like,
he goes, you know what? I'm going to do this favor for them since I already got paid. She heads up there and she gets eight.
She does. The mom jumps right on her.
Now, where the fuck does her body go?
She put it in the trash.
Yeah, she put it in the trash bags.
Trash bags, just left it out with the trash.
She came out of her room the next morning and just carried the bags out.
But they find her later on, right? Because they
probably the dumpster man took it. They found
they
it the
on the news report they find out that it's the body of the of the prostitute.
Yeah.
How much? It's so frustrating.
We haven't even talked about the police officer in disguise that she forces off of a roof when she gets shot in the head.
Oh, dude, that was a funny ass scene.
All of these are funny ass scenes.
She gets shot in the hand, shakes it off, gets shot in the head, and momentarily is dazed for a second, but then forces this cop to jump off a building.
Right in front of her son.
She proceeds to then put a glove on the hand that got shot and then like just comb her hair differently for a few minutes.
Yeah, I was like, that's a fucking smart idea. She got shot in the head.
You smart.
She got a little bullet hole in her head. She's like, you know what? I'm just going to do my bangs a different way. Nice.
Done.
Problem solved.
I thought it was weird that she like wore the one glove like Michael Jackson, but I thought maybe that's just an old white lady thing.
And then when she took the glove off and her hand was healed, she was like, huh, neat.
Isn't that delightful? Which, how does she, well, I guess if she was a werewolf, she would regen.
Vampires too, if she eats.
Yeah.
Yeah, vampires.
Not zombies, though.
If she was a ghoul, no.
It's so like that elements of all those.
That's things, less credence to the ghoul theory.
Yeah.
So it's like a vampire / werewolf.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Stupid monster. What a stupid monster this movie has.
So after they kill the prostitute, her real daughter shows up, just says, oh, just left my husband, just got off a plane or got on a plane, didn't say a word, and now I've come back to live with mom. And the mom's like, delightful. This is wonderful.
This is great.
You're an absolute bitch, but you can come live with me because you're my daughter. And then she eats her daughter.
That's not true.
Oh, not right away. Then the daughter is like, actually, mom, I'm going to go stay with my friend and we're going to party.
But then she eats her daughter.
I'm going to go stay with my friend and hoe around.
Wait, what?
She eats her daughter.
Yeah. That's something that he yelled at her.
Yeah.
About
Clay kept saying, your own daughter, your own flesh and blood. And she's like, she was a stranger to me.
Yeah.
I must have missed this scene because I don't recall that.
That's like
at
when she's
all
tied up to the bed already.
Yeah. He goes down to like.
Matt Smith did.
He goes to like under the house. And he finds like, it was like trash bags, right? And he opens one and I thought it was his girlfriend.
Right.
Because, you know, like she'd been saying, oh, I called the, well, first she killed Stoney, the doctor that they all knew.
Stoney.
And then his girlfriend.
Like, he was here to help you.
Yeah, he stopped by because the girlfriend called and was like, yo, can you check on Emily? How did she say? Emily.
And she kept calling her Emily.
Emily.
She didn't call her like
mom or like anything like that,
but she would even say that to Emily. Clay, she would be like, oh, Emily's being such a bitch right now. it wasn't even like your mom is kind of being a cunt. No, that Emily.
That Emily.
they killed Stoney.
And then so he finds the sister, and I thought it was, you know, he killed whatever his girlfriend's name is. And then Clay goes up and just starts fighting with his mom and arguing with his mom. Finally, the cop or his girlfriend shows up and the cops show up.
And he's drunk as shit at this point,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. He's
again
drunk and tired, as he said. She's like, oh, honey, you're drunk. And he's like, yeah, I'm drunk and tired. The dream he had about his mom where she's like putting him to bed and laying him down on his teddy bear. Good night, sweet baby.
Unbelievable.
Rest
dude
up, my little
weird
Viking.
Shit.
And
the director's got some issues, man.
So the mom proceeds to just fling everyone around the room just with her superhuman strength, just picking up grown men and throwing them across the room to go eat her future daughter-in-law.
Yeah. Okay, so
that tender baby.
At this point, so the two cops get thrown around, the son gets thrown around, so Clay basically gets thrown out of a window.
Yeah.
I thought, and I was like, dude.
Oh, that was bad.
It went up your nose?
Yeah. I got some of the dust on the back of my knuckle, and I just itched my nose. Oh, that sucks.
It's going to clear your sinuses. Yeah. Don't worry.
I thought, and I would have really appreciated this, I thought the movie went real dark.
Mm-hmm.
When she's coming down
the
stairs.
Oh, you thought she was going to eat him?
I thought she had already done it. Oh, no, yeah. I thought she had already eaten the daughter-in-law.
I thought she isn't was going to eat the fetus.
Do they show that she survives?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it's implied that she's coming down the stairs. You know, her mouth is covered in blood. Yeah. That you're assuming that it's the daughter-in-law or whatever the hell we want to call her. So I was like, dude, I am applauding this film for going that dark. I was like, yeah, good.
Ate a fetus. Good choice. We thought she was going to eat a Girl Scout earlier.
Yeah, for sure.
And then Clay comes in, beaten and battered, starts going up the stairs, and then hears his mom in the kitchen. And she's setting herself on fire, dude. I don't know how.
She's douse herself in grease.
She just lit up like a match. I don't know.
Well, yeah, there's a giant explosion coming out of like the oven or something. And so she's like, oh, my son's dead. I don't want to live anymore. Sets the house on fire with her daughter-in-law and future grandchild and a cop inside.
Nobody else mattered. He was about to eat her, or she was about to eat her.
That's true.
What do you think happened, though? Like, because she obviously the... Goddamn audio fuckaroos, man. I hate this laptop. Okay, what were we talking about?
The mom had just set herself on fire.
Right. So, Why? So she. I mean, she just probably lit herself with the stove, right? I don't know.
Because there was a scene earlier where her son realized she had done something. I don't remember, but he came in with like a can of hairspray and a lighter and he fucking. I forgot. He like mini blowtorched her and she puts her hands up. Her hands get burned and he goes, but Nestor. And she goes, I'm not Nestor.
That shit is fuck. It's hilarious, dude. So, yeah. So I got to wonder what happened when the grandmother came down, because the mom, when she comes down, because somebody's dead up there.
Yeah. But you see the cops alive, right?
Yeah.
And you know for a fact.
Is it not the daughter?
No, because remember when he's standing in front of the kitchen watching it, and I thought it was the bathroom, not the kitchen.
Maybe it was a random person that she was killed.
Maybe. She just had the arm in her bed. But
I don't know. It's silly. Whatever it is, it's fucking goofy.
It's not the first or last of any plot holes in this movie.
Yeah.
And he probably only survived that fall because he was hammered.
Although, to be fair, I don't think that there's so many plot holes. It's just they don't give a fuck about the plot.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's almost airtight.
It was a cohesive story.
Except for the bodies. What the hell with the bodies?
Yeah. She had some stored under the house. She had some buried under the yard. She didn't know that some of them were there. I guess Nestor had been killing people too.
The crazy bit is that
she took the hooker's contacts?
That was fucking bonkers.
I didn't realize how gross that was until I had to think about using someone's contacts right out of their eye.
You're a monster.
Did the daughter show up after the prostitute or before?
After.
Okay.
Because it was like she pretended to be her, she killed the prostitute, and then like the next morning.
Why would she have killed her own daughter?
She knew it wasn't her daughter.
No.
And when she actually killed her daughter?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense
Because she said her daughter was a stranger to her. She didn't know her daughter anymore because she lives off in another place.
Trying not to kill, so she's hungry all the fucking time. She's on a diet, okay, basically.
But that's the thing. What I was thinking is that after the meal of the prostitute, that she would be at least satiated for a couple few days. Like, she's immediately that hungry that she has to kill her own daughter.
Yeah,
maybe her powers are growing.
And then
she did say it gets stronger every day.
And then that supposes that she was able to fend off the hunger with a fetus in the room. Like, what?
You know what, I didn't look to see if there was a stinger, but I would love if like her mouth was bloody because she bit her future daughter-in-law.
Oh.
And then the fetus became like a werewolf vampire thing.
Oh, I like where your head is at.
That would have been awesome.
I like where your head is at.
I mean, because like, this is the one show that Chris has missed that I really wish Chris was here, because this is a Chris movie through and through. This seems like something he would have been watching all the time.
I don't know.
As soon as it ended, it was like, I'm gonna see that movie again.
Yeah.
It's a weird movie because I probably will never watch this movie again.
You know what? I can see myself like having people over and like having a bunch of beers and like just hanging out and even putting it in the background.
Yeah.
Just so you can catch like the fucking lines that they say.
Did John watch this movie?
No.
Oh, okay.
If I was at a bar and they had this movie on, like with no sound, I'd be looking at whoever I'm with being like, what the fuck is this?
But only with subtitles.
But there's only,
and of course, David Agronoff would know what it is.
There's so much talking in this film. I don't know that it would work in that context. Like, I think
the talking is the best part, is hearing the way he talks to his mom.
Yeah.
Shut up, whore.
Well, even the first time when he first sees his mom eat that homeless guy on the drive home, he's super pissed, seething at the wheel, and his mom's there like sheepishly, what happened?
What, dog? What?
He goes, I just saw you eat a homeless person. She goes, you don't talk to me that way. I'm still your mother.
That was after he threw up like 3 times. Yep. And that homeless lady was laughing at him. That was a good bit, man.
Oh, I really do love this movie.
There's a ton of moments that you're just like, it's fucking hilarious.
I was laughing.
I laughed more in this movie than a lot of comedies.
Yeah. I was laughing from the beginning. It was perfect. I mean, it wasn't perfect, but it was exactly what I needed today. Yeah. You wouldn't watch it again?
No.
I think this could be a great Frights movie.
This is I mean, when I talk about like I don't like these kind of movies, I can watch this once and enjoy it, but there's no room. There's no room for a second viewing.
I think this one specifically is one that can. Like, but I'm thinking more, you know, like during a party when you don't feel like picking a fucking playlist. You just put this movie on.
Yeah, and to sort of wrap it up, I wouldn't recommend this to basically anyone on solo view. I think what I would recommend this is in a group
with someone.
Setting.
Yeah,
I think this movie does not do very well like just by yourself in a room.
Because then you can't like talk about how stupid it is. Yeah. Like I was really lucky to have Alia there and Jazzy was there for a little bit, but we were all laughing from the beginning.
Yeah, this movie lives in a group, I think, and it'll do really well in that sort of arena, but. Just by yourself in a dark room?
Yeah.
Nah.
And it's on it's on YouTube for free. So there you go.
That's where it belongs.
Well, I mean, it's I couldn't they had a DVD on Amazon, but nowhere else was streaming it, like not Shudder.
Yeah,
I couldn't even
rent it off of Apple.
Yeah, nowhere. So the only thing that's on the internet is basically people recorded it off of their TV, and the different versions you find have different television names on the bottom corners. The one on YouTube even has one.
And so. It's different run times according to like what editing happened to it.
Yeah.
There's different blurring, you know, depending on, you know, what station it was on. There's different edited dialogue depending on what station it was on.
I could totally have seen this being on, you know, USA at like 2 a.m.
It's definitely one of those films. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the hooker scene was just sexy enough for that time slot. Like it was just
there wasn't a whole lot of curse words there. There was a decent amount of blood. It was I fully enjoyed it.
The creature effects weren't horrible.
Okay, so when he attacks the girl,
it looked solid. Jeez.
When Nestor attacks the girl at the very beginning, he goes through a few different transitional phases, and the very first one I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. Oh, that's not.
Yeah, it's weird.
When it was like much more long face, looked very like a plastic mask.
For the time and for probably the budget, I don't know, man. I thought it was all right. Pretty adequate.
I mean,
then when you consider what you're watching also, you're like, the dialogue.
I'm glad we got to watch
something.
The
fucking music and sound effects at some points. I was like, oh my God, what is with this music?
Yeah. That was like your first comment on it. Like when the Christmas music started. She's like,
I was like, oh, it's a Christmas music movie?
And that's irrelevant other than her getting the same slippers from her daughter.
Yeah, and it seems like an enormous amount of time passes from the first, not that opening scene, but the Christmas scene to when Nestor shows up.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Like, it feels like forever has gone by, but the girlfriend is still not really pregnant.
No. She never is really showing. Because even when they announced,
California,
she's like,
even right after Christmas.
That's true.
No, I don't mean like because there isn't snow on the ground. I just mean like the tone of it is such that like a lot of time has passed by and Nestor, you know, been trying to rent this room out and then here comes Nestor. Fucking
okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, they weren't because they wanted to do a nursery at the grandma's house.
She was like, nope.
No, I need the money I need the company. I don't want you fucking nerds around here, so I'll get this creepy old blind guy who that scene where he's like interrogating Clay after Clay picks up his mom, he's like, you fucking walk home, and then they're all sitting in the living room. He comes in and goes, I hope we're all patched up.
Yeah, he says, did he say patched up or smoothed over or something?
Yeah,
something, like that.
Something stupid like that nobody actually says in conversational dialogue.
Are we all kosher?
Yeah. Is everything copacetic in here? I just don't get it. Yeah.
That's 90
songs. You got it.
It's local H, baby.
Yeah.
Born to be down. See, why wasn't that on the quiz?
I think that we said this before now. Was that in a horror movie?
Probably.
Or you mean my little karaoke game that I did?
Probably that's been in a horror movie. I mean, I gotta imagine just the tone of it would probably be pretty good in a horror film. Yeah, so like I mean, to wrap it up, it's not a good movie. It's fun to watch if you're in a group setting, I think. And it's funny as shit and
they framed some nice shots too.
Yeah, there was
like when they took the homeless
nice
guy into the diner. Like I thought that was really cool.
Kind of like the outside view. Yeah, where you kind of just got a hint of what they're doing.
Well, even when Clay picked them
up,
there's
a lot of like
van.
Really geometric shots too. It was fucking cool.
I didn't mention one of my favorite shots was when Clay passes out the first time on the mom's couch.
The first time,
and she picks him up like a little baby.
That's his
dream.
What
I was saying. The dream.
That was his dream.
Oh, you're
he woke
right.
Up, he was back on the couch.
I thought it was subsequent to that.
No,
because yeah,
his mom was
time.
About to attack him, and then he woke up. He's on the couch, like, but he's like laying on his back, and then to show that time has passed, he's like laying face down on the couch.
Speaking of that scene in particular, do you guys remember as a kid reading that book, "I'll Love You for Always"?
No.
So it's a kid's book, and I've read it to my, you know, I've read it to both of my kids a couple times, but it's the one where the baby's born and the mom is like, I'll love you for always, whatever you do, blah, 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 blah. And it's the stages of the kid growing up. So like he's a baby and then he's a toddler and then he's like a bratty teenager. And she basically like, she does this thing where when the kid is in bed, she like sneaks into his room and like picks him up and like rocks him to sleep and sings the song to him. Well, at the end of the book, he's an adult and she's an old lady. But there is still a part where she drives with a ladder on her car to the guy's house, sneaks into his bedroom and does the same thing. I'll show it to you guys. It's fucking crazy.
That just took a turn for the weird.
Does he have a wife that's sleeping next to him as his mom sneaks in and starts rocking him to bed?
So the follow-up to that is that she then is too sick to make the trip, and he does it to her. He sneaks into her room and sings her the song.
That's
he sneaks
so
into her
weird.
Room and puts a pillow over her face.
And then after that,
I want that.
He's got his own baby that he's doing it to at the end. It's fucking crazy.
He's
man.
Doing it
Hopefully
to his mom
baby
and the baby.
The cycle,
like,
dude.
Like
break the cycle.
Children's books are fucking wacky. Like The Giving Tree. Like, have you read The Giving Tree
oh,
recently?
Yeah.
Dude, it's horrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking asshole. It takes all the limbs, all the
ripping
trunk.
Their skin off. And
fucking dickhead.
And he's like, oh, there's nothing left. Oh, no, I'm still going to take something.
Okay, I'm just
going to rub my ass in your face.
Forever until we die. But anyway.
I hate you for always.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Thanks, Sam. This was a good
one. This was a fun one, man.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's the Who Goes There podcast for Mam. Yeah. Watch it.
Yep.
With a group.
I like it.
Probably. Don't watch it by yourself.
And it's on YouTube for free.
It's on YouTube for free. All right. Well, that's episode 157. This is Jorge signing out.
This is the Overweight Championship of the Who Goes There podcast, Matt.
Fuck
Does that
up.
Belt even fit you still?
No, it doesn't.
Oh, my God.
Did it ever?
It did. It's a big-ass belt.
Is it?
It's a big-ass
belt. I thought those belts don't really, like, fit
Those
anybody.
Don't, but that one does.
Oh, you got it extra.
For fat guys.
Oh, shit.
Now I'm a little too fat guy for my fat guy belt.
I don't feel bad for you, dude.
I don't feel bad for you, son.
I feel bad for me.
You don't.
Dang.
Not really. All right, you're making up for it.
That's all you. All right. We'll see you next week, everybody. Yeah, bye. Hate your guts.
I'm not gonna worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be all right, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.